2040. Greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for the FIFA Under 20 World Cup football tournament, which kicks off Saturday in South Korea. The competition features 24 teams, including four from Africa: Guinea, Senegal, South Africa, and Zambia. The Zambian boys play two-time FIFA Under 20 World Champion Portugal on Sunday in their opener. Elsewhere, Guinea will go against host South Korea on Saturday. Senegal will meet Saudi Arabia on Monday, May 22nd. And South Africa will face Japan on Sunday. Senegal is in the same group as the United States, which will take on Ecuador on May 22nd in the opening match for both teams. We'll see a new FIFA Under 20 World Champion crowned on June 11th in Suwon, South Korea, where the final will be played. That's because Serbia, the 2015 winner, failed to reach the final round of Europe's qualifying tournament. Argentina, with six world titles, is the most successful team at the FIFA Under 20 level. Argentina will play England on Saturday in its opening match in Jeonju, South Korea. Meanwhile, the major European club football seasons are coming to an end. Monaco sealed its first French title since 2000 and an eighth overall with a 2-0 win over Saint-Étienne. With one match left to play this weekend, Monaco has an unbeatable 6-point lead over second place Paris Saint-Germain. Portuguese star Cristiano Ronaldo scored early in each half Thursday when Real Madrid defeated 10-man Celta Vigo 4-1 to retake Spain's La Liga lead from Barcelona and move within 1 point of its first league title in 5 years. Real Madrid will meet Juventus in the UEFA Champions League final June 3rd in Cardiff, Wales. On Thursday, Juventus secured the first of a possible three major trophies by beating Lazio 2-0 in the Italian Cup final. Juventus can also clinch Italy's Serie A title this weekend. In England, the Blues of Chelsea clinched the Premier League title last week, while in Germany, Bayern Munich has already won its record-extending 27th national title. The 7th World Dwarf Games will be held in August in Ontario, Canada. Organizers say they welcome short-statured athletes with dwarfism from all over the world, from 4 to 99 years old, to participate in the sports festival. There will be competition in more than a dozen sports, including soccer, swimming, table tennis, track and field, and volleyball. A multi-talented Zimbabwean little person aims to compete in the games to raise awareness in his country. Reporter Kudzai Zinavashe tells us more from Zimbabwe's capital, Harare.
Zimbabwean society is best described as conservative. That is known for stereotypes and discrimination. That applies to little people. Tadiwa Kunzekwe Guta is a well-known photographer and a little person who is currently training for the World Dwarf Games to be held in Canada this August. He explains what has inspired him to briefly trade the camera for running shoes and a swimsuit.
The whole reason for these games to travel to Canada is to actually raise awareness and say, hey, little people can be multifaceted as well. Little people can be multi-talented. They can be these amazing human beings that are doctors as well as athletes, as well as swimmers. It's something that we really want the world to know, especially people in Zimbabwe, to get an awareness.
He says, although stereotyping of dwarf people in Zimbabwe has decreased, there is more work to do.
It's a bit different because you find that there are people who are now more conscious of little people because of the awareness campaigns that we have done. But still, there's still a bit of work because you find that there's a lot of stereotype that comes with being a little person. You find that a lot of times I've been stopped in the street, people asking me to be a BM7 dancer. A lot of times I feel like little people get to have their story defined by other people based on what they think is right for them.
Kunzekwe Guta says he started training recently.
Since January. I've always had a passion for sports, but, you know, competing with average height people is a bit hectic. So I tend to just play when it's a social game. But now competing with other little people with dwarfism, I can say January. I've been an athlete since January.
At the games, he will compete in the 100 and 200 meters as well as swimming 25 meters. He says despite the late start in training, his chances of doing well are good.
Well, for now, with what I've been seeing, I think the odds are pretty great because I've been training, I've been putting in the work, probably twice as hard as other teams that have been preparing for a year or two or something. But I feel like I've caught up with them. But experience-wise, they're obviously more mentally prepared. But I think by the time I get to August, I'll be good.
Kunzekwe Guta is heading to the games with his girlfriend Laura, who is also a little person. Together, they are currently fundraising for the trip to Canada in August. He says he would have loved to have gone with a big team of little people. His long-term goal is to bring together fellow little people and prepare for regional, continental, and international games. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinawashe from Harare.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sonny Man on the sunny side of sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sonny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this, it's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life.
The National Basketball Association playoffs resume Friday night in Boston, Massachusetts, where the Boston Celtics will host the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Superstar LeBron James and the Cavaliers beat the Celtics Wednesday night in Boston 117-104 to take a one-game-to-none lead in the best-of-seven series. The Celtics tried multiple defenders to stop LeBron, who tallied 38 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists. Talk to us, LeBron!
Make plays for myself, make plays for my teammates, keep defense off balance throughout the course of a 48-minute game. And coaching staff, my teammates do a great job of putting me in position to succeed, and I just try to come through for them every night. And tonight was another one of those games where I made a couple plays to help us get a win, but it was definitely our two bigs that set the tone. Kev and Double T, they were phenomenal.
Those phenomenal teammates LeBron is talking about, Kev and Double T, are Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. Love scored a playoff career high 32 points. He also grabbed 12 rebounds, while Double T, Tristan Thompson, added 20 points and 9 rebounds. At the post-game news conference, Boston's head coach, Brad Stevens, paid tribute to LeBron.
I've always been so impressed with his mental understanding of the game and the way that he communicates and his insights and the way that he reads defense and offense and everything else. He's always picking the matchup that he wants. And, I just said in the coaches' meeting right before we left, it's hard to believe, but he's better than when I got into the league, a lot better. As you get older, you gain more experiences, you see more things. Yeah, I didn't think he could get any better after that, but he is.
Boston Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Once again, the Celtics will play the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers on Friday night in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Meanwhile, Game 3 in the Western Conference Finals will be Saturday night in San Antonio, Texas. The San Antonio Spurs are looking to bounce back after losing the first two games in Northern California to the Golden State Warriors. Now, Golden State's head coach, Steve Kerr, has been sidelined since early in the playoffs as he deals with back problems. However, the Warriors received some encouraging news. It looks like Steve Kerr is close to rejoining the team amid news that he'll accompany the Warriors to San Antonio for Game 3 on Saturday. Coach Kerr missed the first half of last season because of complications from back surgery that caused spinal fluid to leak, leading to severe headaches and nausea, among other problems. The Voice of America's director, Amanda Bennett, recently returned from a trip to Africa. And Amanda joins us now with this special message as the VOA celebrates the 75th anniversary year of its first broadcast.
"75 years ago, Voice of America made its first broadcast. Today, we broadcast in over 45 languages all over the world. We broadcast in every means that people could possibly want to receive their news and information. We use radio still. We use television. We broadcast for the web, for mobile, and if new forms of communication are invented, we'll be there too. Our mission is really, really simple. We give neutral, fair, objective, independent news and information to people who have no other access to it. And we tell America's story. And America's story is rich and full. It goes from the entrepreneurial climate of Silicon Valley to our great universities, to health and medicine and medical advances. It's also the story of America's diaspora, the people who came here from all over the world. I started my journalistic career more than 50 years ago, and here today at Voice of America, I remember just why I became a journalist. It's such a privilege to be working here with the great men and women who are telling America's story and providing neutral news and information around the world. I'm so happy to be here at Voice of America as it celebrates its 75th anniversary, and I feel proud to welcome it into the next 75 years.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again here in the Voice of America's Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, we've talked about it on the show before. It's the fight that everybody wants to happen, and it may be at least halfway there. I'm, of course, talking about Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. Floyd Mayweather, the great boxer. Conor McGregor, the great mixed martial arts UFC fighter. Conor McGregor announcing that he's signed a deal to fight Floyd Mayweather. However, Mayweather has not signed anything yet, so it's only halfway there. But some interesting tweets from Conor McGregor confirming the fight. First, he had a retweet of an article on themaclife.com, which is a website that covers the MMA UFC fighting. And the article that he retweeted is headlined, "Exclusive, Conor McGregor talks signing contract to fight Floyd Mayweather." And it says, "Conor McGregor has confirmed to themaclife.com that he's officially signed a contract to fight Floyd Mayweather." So that's the one big tweet that confirms at least that it's part of the way there. The other tweet is a photo of his newborn son. Now, about a week and a half ago, Conor McGregor Sr. welcomed his first son, Conor McGregor Jr., into the world. So there's been a lot of pictures of his son on his social media channels. And this is a photo of his newborn son, less than 2 weeks old, sitting among Conor McGregor Sr.'s UFC title belt. And the message that goes with that photograph reads, "Let's go get some boxing ones now, son." So Conor McGregor is, by signing that contract for sure, but also the hype that he's building up, I think he's very eager to take on this fight.
Floyd Mayweather, usually pretty active on social media, Andrew. No response from him?
Yeah, there was a video that I saw on social media someone put up that Mayweather said he's more focused on his future fights than a potential fight against Conor McGregor. Also, I saw an article that Floyd Mayweather in an interview said that he could make upwards of 230 million pounds if they were to fight. So I don't know what that translates to in U.S. dollars, probably close to 270, 280 million U.S. dollars. So he thinks he can make a lot of money if they have this fight. So maybe that might be a tipping point, might be a deciding factor that he decides to do it.
His nickname is the Money Man.
And he, you know, he would love, I'm sure, to get a paycheck like that and put up that on social media. As he's done in the past with some of his other paychecks, he put up those amounts on social media. But, you know, they haven't even announced a date yet, haven't even finalized this yet, Sonny. And already the conversation begins. Who is going to win this potential fight? So you have people saying Mayweather, a tried-and-true boxer, will have no problem dispatching McGregor, who is not an experienced boxer. McGregor's fans saying that his size will give him an advantage. He's a little bigger than Floyd Mayweather. So
We'll see. It's going to be that talk for the next however many weeks, months, maybe even years until they finally finalize this. It's going to be a lot of anticipation for this fight.
Andrew, I mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo bagging a couple more goals on Thursday for Real Madrid. Is he trending?
Absolutely. So those two goals from Ronaldo putting Real Madrid 1 point away from capturing La Liga title. And those two goals, actually the first of those two goals, breaks a tie that he held with Jimmy Graves as top European goal scorer. So they were both tied at 366 goals. He scored the first to get to 367 to sit atop the leaderboard, and then he pads that with an extra goal. He's now at 368. Now, these goals continue to stoke the flames of another debate that goes on the internet. Is Ronaldo the GOAT, the greatest of all time? Lots of people pointing to that statistic saying he's the top European goal scorer. That shows that he's the greatest of all time. Fans already saying that Ronaldo will capture the Ballon d'Or this year, tying, I believe, Messi's record for five, even though it's months and months away. And it's just this back and forth between the Messi fans and the Ronaldo fans. Another, you know, back and forth that I don't think is going to ever end till probably the end of time. We're going to be talking about who is the greatest. But these two players is certainly getting a lot of social media attention, and Ronaldo certainly making a good case for himself on in how he's playing, and fans are taking notice of that.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Andrew, you talk about GOAT, greatest of all time. I think a certain member of the Cleveland Cavaliers is putting his name in that GOAT basketball discussion.
I would say so. In fact, there was a tweet about Ronaldo and Messi that I saw that said, Ronaldo is the LeBron James of football, while Lionel Messi is the Steph Curry. So putting that, I guess, in some basketball perspective. But no, LeBron James is absolutely on fire. As Adam Himmelsbach put it in the Boston Globe, he's a sports writer for the Boston Globe, he said, LeBron continues to defy age, gravity, and possibility. And certainly on display last night as the Cavs take down the Boston Celtics 117-104 in that first matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals. One big play in particular getting a lot of attention on social media, LeBron dunking on Boston's Isaiah Thomas, a brutal dunk. Going right over him. Isaiah Thomas is about 5'8", so he jumps right over him pretty much. And it's very interesting. Somebody put a side-by-side two pictures up on social media saying it's a recreation of LeBron's 2013 playoff dunk on Boston's Jason Terry. Nearly identical positioning for Jason Terry and Isaiah Thomas. They're both wearing number 4. So very interesting. But here's the big difference. Back in 2013, LeBron was playing with Miami Heat. This year, of course, he's with the Cleveland Cavaliers, so that's the big difference. Even though they're in the same position in the photos, two different uniforms. So a lot of people saying it adds to his goatness that he could win championships with multiple teams and lead multiple teams to the finals and to a title. But even before the game, LeBron was making news on social media. Practicing up in Boston, he chucks the ball from one end of the court to the other. And not only does the ball go in, nothing but net. You have this very satisfying swish that you hear in the video. Of course, a couple of jokes that I saw that LeBron won't see these moments on social media because he, of course, is off social media for the duration of the playoffs, as is his social media tradition. He puts away his phone, gets off social media so he can focus on the game and the task at hand. But maybe, you know, in a week or two, maybe a few weeks, if he's hoisting that trophy, he can check out social media and see what he's missed in the past month and a half.
And once again, LeBron back on the court Friday night in Boston.
Yeah, we'll see what he can do then.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And that wraps up the May 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
United Nations peacekeeping missions are critical to assisting war-torn countries get back on their feet and to transition from conflict to peace. For over 60 years now, UN peacekeeping missions have operated in some of the most dangerous and difficult environments in the world, dealing with conflicts and their aftermath the world over. In that time, 126 countries have contributed peacekeepers to the United Nations. Given the wide spectrum of cultures involved, in order to be successful in their common endeavor, they must train together. Now more than ever, there is a growing global demand for trained peacekeeping personnel, writes Andrew Strike of the U.S. State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs in a recent blog post. International stability requires peace operations, and peace operations require well-trained, effective peacekeepers. That is why in late March and early April, the government of Nepal and the United States Pacific Command co-hosted Shanti Pious III, a multinational peacekeeping exercise that brought together participants from over 30 countries. Partnerships play a critical role in meeting global challenges, from maintaining peace to providing humanitarian assistance after natural disasters, said U.S. Ambassador to Nepal, Elena Teplitz. This kind of multinational training can deepen mutual understanding and respect and encourage further collaboration if we're doing it right and we're committed to this mission. The Shanti Pious III, which translates as peace endeavor, is supported by the U.S. Global Peace Operations Initiative, a U.S. government-funded security assistance program that aims to strengthen international peacekeeping capacity in support of United Nations and regional peace operations. The initiative provides the capacity-building support to help countries around the world contribute to the establishment of international peace and security. The United States is committed to UN peacekeeping missions, mandates, and tasks that support the rules-based international order, a system that benefits all nations, said Admiral Harris, head of U.S. Pacific Command. That's why we continue to work together with partners from the countries represented at Shanti Pious III.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here. Only the best on VOA Africa.